This land is your land. This land is my land. From California to the New York Island. From the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters. Hey, this land was made, you and me. As I was walking that ribbon of highways, I saw above. Sun comes shining, and I was strolling, and the wheat fields waving, and the dust clouds rolling, and the fog was lifting, a voice was chanting, saying this land was made for you and me. This land is your land, this land is my land, from California to the New York.
Israel, we are Jacob Israel. our Jacob Israel. We are Jacob Israel. We are Jacob Israel. We are Jacob Israel. We are Jacob Israel.
That sound, give a battle was going down. There's battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right, everybody's wrong. Young people speaking their minds, getting so resistance from me, and it's time we stop now. Here, what's that sound? Everybody, look what's going down. What a field there for the heat. Now, a thousand people on the streets singing songs. Signs, and mostly see hurry for a sight. Think it's time that we stop. Yeah, what's that sound? Everybody look who's going down. Everybody look who's going down. Say stop knock here. What's that sound? Everybody look who's going down. Say stop here. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Who's going down? Who's going down? Yeah, who's going down? Yeah, it was going down.
The president is, or the executive branch is now in control of our military in direct violation of the Constitution. The Constitution is in the process of being destroyed. And if Congress and the executive branch cannot regain control of the military, then the American sovereignty is about to be dissolved under the United Nations. And you know, they don't teach that in school anymore. They don't teach it to soldiers. When you take an oath, that's the last time you hear the word Constitution. for a whole 20-year career. So the point here, you know, basically is that our schools are no longer teaching the separation of powers. They don't teach about the Constitution. They teach about United Nations in schools today. Unfortunately, there is no constitutional basis for being there, and it's just the principle of the thing. He says, if I take an oath to the United Nations, well, then I'll serve the United Nations. But since I took an oath to be an American, how can you force me to be a United Nations citizen? Do you see what we're saying here?
A young man joined the service, thought he'd do his part. He loved his country under God, was true to his own heart. He knew he'd get an education, discipline, and growth. He had no hesitation when he gave his solemn oath. He gave a solemn oath. To my God and country, from now until the end, it's the Constitution I swear I will defend. Foreign or domestic, these last three words ring true. I'm defending my country. My name is Michael New. My name is Michael New. In uniform across the sea, on soil in foreign lands, with dedication, honesty, keen eyes and steady hands, fulfilling every duty with patriotic love, until the day an order came from officers above. From his officers above. The color of the army is a military green, but the uniform they gave to him was like one he'd never seen. The shoulder bore a UN patch, a distinctive shade of blue. No oath to a charter, to my country I'll be true. To my country I'll be true. To my God and country, from now until the end. It's the Constitution I swear I will defend. Foreign or domestic, these last three words ring true. I'm defending my country. My name is Michael New. Yes, my name is Michael New. On Tuesday morn, October 10th, inspection of the men. By Finland's General Engström, he had to look again. The traitorous eyes of officers stared down at Michael New. A single patch of green in an endless sea of blue. A single patch of green in an endless sea of blue. To my God and country, from now until the end, it's the Constitution I swear I will defend. Foreign or domestic, that final word rings true. Yes, I'll defend my country. My name is Michael New. To our God and country, from now until the end, it's the Constitution we swear we will defend. Foreign or domestic, that final word rings true. Yes, we'll defend our country, just like Michael knew. America is watching, all eyes on Michael New. You set a fine example. God bless you, Michael New.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design broadcast for the 24th day of August, year 2022. I am your host, Pastor Dan, and the topic for today's broadcast is A New Model. We dedicate this broadcast to our Heavenly Father, Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this broadcast to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo-Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen, Shumai, and welcome to the broadcast. Cumri Ambeth. We do have a website, www.pastordan.net, and Pastor Dan is all together with no spaces, so pastordan.net. A little adage that we like to remind everybody of, the will of God will never take you where the grace of God will not protect you. Another way of saying it is in other verses that he will not lay burdens upon you that you cannot handle. On our website, PastorDan.net, we have the Daily Mail page there for updates on news items, current events, prepper information, health information, etc. We also have a page there for contacting us. If you do not have my personal contact information, use Contact Us page and send me a note, and I'll be glad to get back to you. And the home page is where there's information on how you can make a donation or help us financially if you feel so inclined. Ella, thank you very much. Sound is coming through, and that is always good to know. I'm trying a different setting on my microphone today to hopefully keep some of the peaks down a little bit, so my editing of that sort of thing is less burdensome after the show is over. So I've got verses and quotes here I want to base tonight's discussion on a new model, and I'm tying tonight's sermon or discussion to the National Militia meeting that was conducted a little earlier today, because it seems like the lions are starting to speak out and talk to each other, which is very good at this point, sharing ideas, and there is a commonality of thought amongst the leaders. And it's very fitting that it is scriptural, and it is something that we have talked about on this radio broadcast many times. So let me read these quotes and scripture to you, and then we'll get into that discussion. And again, if you want to send me a note during the broadcast, please remember to send it to the email address Bravo Yankee Delta, which is BYD, Bravo Yankee Delta, Pastor Dan, and that's all together, all of that, at yahoo.com. And I will address any question or comment you have on the air. Okay, the first one is a quote that we've talked about quite often, Richard Buckminster Fuller. And you can look him up if you're not sure who this individual was, but he said this many years ago. You never change things by fighting the existing reality. So let that sink in. You never change things by fighting the existing reality. And we should all know that by now, because look at the fact that we're being played by both sides. The Republican Democrats are two wings on the same bird, okay, two sides of the same coin. It's good cop, bad cop, but they're all part of the New World Order, okay? So there is no political solution. So you never change things by fighting the existing reality. To change something, build a new model that makes the existing model obsolete. And now people are starting to get it. That's why the militias are starting to come back into the public view. They've been in hiding ever since Oklahoma City, because that was the purpose of Oklahoma City bombing, was to drive the militia movement underground, because it was becoming so popular even back then. Okay, so here we are 20 years later, over 20 years later, and it's resurging once again, and the militia are starting to regain their intestinal fortitude and realizing the hour is late, and so they're stepping up. So the militia are reaching out to the sheriffs that know their rightful duty to God and country. We're on the same side, or at least we'd better be. If there's a sheriff out there that's not with us, then that means they're with the enemy, and they are a communist and part of this communist world takeover. So the new model we want to build that will make the existing model obsolete, this existing model is a corporation pretending to be the republic known as the United States of America, when in fact it is not. It is a corporatocracy being run by psychopaths, communist psychopaths. And they do mean to rule the world, and they want the United States sons and daughters to bleed the ground red, subduing the other nations of the world as these Zionists attempt to become the rulers of the world. That's their plan. Now, our Heavenly Father has a group of people on this earth called his sons and daughters, and their job is to stop this plan. So they want us to think there's no way we can stop them. They've got control of the electronic shekels. They've got control of most of our military and police forces because of the shekels. They just stuff money in people's pockets. They bought off the churches. They bought off the public school system and the university and college systems. They've bought off the medical arena. They've taken over pharmaceuticals, etc. Okay? They've taken many of the publishing houses so that if you want to get a book published, it better pass their Jewish scrutiny. Okay, so they look like, yes, they've got everything wrapped up. How could this band of believers interfere with the Antichrist? Oh my gosh, where have I read that? Oh, that's right, it's in the Bible. Who can war with the beast? Remember that fearful expression? We brought that up in the militia meeting, too, that there are people living in a state of fear, and I reminded them, you don't worry about the people that live in a state of fear. They have died already. That's what the scripture means. If you're willing to lose, or if you're willing to cave to save your life, you've already lost your life. That's what that scripture is talking about. If you're living in a state of fear to where you'll put an experimental substance in your body that could kill you, where you will lie to the public, you will lie in front of a TV camera, you will lie in front of an audience at an auditorium, if you will do those things to keep your job because you love money and you're in a state of fear, you've lost your life already. You're not even alive. And many people have lost their life going along with this new world order. Okay? Weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth is the scriptural definition of our current situation. And yes, there are plenty of people weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. But that doesn't mean Yahweh's sons and daughters are. Does it? So while the people that are out there suffering because they're going along with the beast system, I know plenty of people that are not suffering. They've had to change the way they do business. They have some things that they can't do that they used to, like maybe going to the beach or a certain box store or the theater or NASCAR or get on a plane. But are those guarantees in this world? Are those things that our Heavenly Father said are necessities of life? Well, I know there's plenty of people think they're necessities, but in reality, are they? No, they're not. So once again, if your goal is to do the right thing for the right reason, our Heavenly Father will be with you. So what we're endeavoring to do with these meetings and talking to as many people as we can is we need to form a new model that the righteous can cling to, the righteous can see and move to, that will make this existing kakistocracy obsolete. And folks, think about this for a minute. Every person that loves the Father above, who loves honesty and prosperity and charity, who loves their wives and their children, who wants to see this to be a better world, every single one of them would flock to a group of righteous men forming a new model outside of this dystopia that's been created by the New World Order. They will flock to it. Now, as they flock to it, this is where the sheriffs and the militia come in, because they will need protection. And we have a God-given right to do that. We have a God-given right to self-defense. No government can take that right away. They have no authority. They have no jurisdiction whatsoever. And we've talked about the fact that our public servants in this corporatocracy that we find ourselves in here in America, virtually every state and federal public servant has committed treason. They have violated their oath of office, therefore they are operating under the color of law, which is in itself another form of treason. If they knew what was good for them, they would resign and leave their public offices today. Because they will stand in front of tribunals to give an accounting for what they're doing under the color of law. Oh, I know that the Jews, the Zionist communists are telling them, oh, don't worry about it, we've got this in the bag. Well, yeah, that's what they're going to tell you. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but that's not going to be what happens. The righteous army, according to Ezekiel and Obadiah and Malachi, will rise up and we will defeat this new world order. And every person who has supported it will be called in front of a tribunal. And they will be judged according to what has been written in the books. And if it's a capital offense and they are found guilty of a capital offense, they will be summarily executed. That's what's going to be in the future for all of these despots, miscreants, cretins, and psychopaths running this, excuse my French, but shit show that we've been living through for quite some time now. The last 2.5 years, of course, have been absolutely outrageous. But that's what it takes to wake up brain dead, bags of bones, as Ezekiel calls them, the dead and dry bones. Unfortunately, that's what it takes to wake some of our people up. Now, those that have been awake for quite some time, you know that you're part of his elect. You're the remnant, the elect of his people. You are in a higher position because you walk closer to our Father. You listened to his voice via the Holy Spirit. So therefore you are his elect. And you have a very special job at this time, because many of our people are just now waking up. And we discussed some of our issues tonight with those that have only been awake. Some of the people have only been awake for about a year, some even less than that. Okay, so for those of us that have been awake for decades, obviously we have to be able to bring them up to speed. And they have to have enough discernment to trust us. Doesn't mean that they can't research what we tell them and double check us, because they should. Trust, but verify. Okay? Because that's what got us into trouble, the fact that we were trusting these, quote, trusted voices, the media, the Faucis of the world, the Birxes, the Walensky's, etc. Government officials, institutions, corporate officials, the media, etc. Okay, we trusted those to our chagrin, unfortunately. To our utter shame, we trusted and we did not verify. So all of us on this side of the fence are telling you, we have nothing but the best of intentions, but you are to trust and verify, no matter what you hear, because ultimately you're going to be responsible for what you do with your life. You're going to stand in front of a righteous judge in our Heavenly Father who gave you life, and you will stand there all by yourself. You can't blame mom and dad. You can't blame aunts and uncles or grandma and grandpa. You can't blame society or your economic situation. You can't even blame the Jews, because they do almost everything they do by deception. They get you to violate his law by deception. They get you to turn over your hard-earned efforts via taxation and inflation by deception. Everybody thinks they're all powerful. No, they are criminal geniuses. Okay? They're not geniuses in the sense of creativity and honesty and those things. No, no, no. They are criminal geniuses. They put all of their efforts into how to get one over on you, how to get you to acquiesce to the satanic way of doing things, getting you to be afraid. So when you boil it all down, you're going to stand there all by yourself, because ultimately, ladies and gentlemen, it's all up to you. This is a great big mind game that's being played on you. One of the gentlemen in the meeting was talking about how many people are afraid and we should work to get our numbers up and all, but that's exactly what the enemy wants you to do. Sitting around, being in a state of fear, worrying about how many numbers, what kind of numbers do you have on your side? My father and mother, bless their souls, used to say to me, all the time I was growing up, especially my father, a man with convictions is a majority. Now, where did he get that from? The scriptures. A man with convictions is a majority. I could have mentioned earlier in the meeting, but we ran out of time. This world was changed by Messiah and 12 disciples. That's it. One leader with 12 subordinates, and they changed the world. And you're going to tell me we need hundreds of thousands or millions of armed people on our side to accomplish our goals? No, we don't. We need the leader and 12 subordinates who will not back down, who will not give in, and will not go against their faith or their integrity to accomplish their goals. Another quote by Ralph Waldo Emerson, which is in his book called The Value of Good Work. If a man can write a better book or a better mousetrap than his neighbors, though he builds his house in the woods, the world to his door. Another way of saying that is, if you or I, sermon, or build a better mousetrap than our neighbors, the rest of the world will flock to you. If you combine that with our previous quote, if we can build a new model that makes the old model obsolete, the world will beat a path to our door. Do you know how many people have inventions, things that could be patented, energy devices, different kinds of transportation, housing? You can just imagine how many brilliant people there are out there, entrepreneurs, but they will not put their patents in the patent office because they know it's run by our enemy, and those patents will be stolen. Those intellectual property will be stolen. I've met people that invented cars that can run on magnetism. I met a gentleman in Michigan that invented a Tesla-type generator that could power his house without fuel. Its energy was gotten from the electromagnetic lines of flux that are all around this world. Very similar to how a sailboat works. How does a sailboat work? Does it have any diesel fuel on it? No. Does it have any kind of gasoline tanks? No. And yet it sails. It can sail all across the oceans if they wanted to. Well, how does it work? Because they put the sail up and it captures the energy of the wind. Well, the Tesla generators work on the same idea, only just like you can't see the wind, but you can feel it. You can't see or even feel the electronic lines of force called flux fields that go around this earth, the electromagnetic flux fields. But if you design a car with a set of patented magnets in it, it can capture that energy and propel a car with no fuel, no pollution, no noise. Can you imagine that? I knew these people that had done this, and that was 30 years ago. So do you think they've come up with other things? There's a whole almost unimaginable amount of beautiful things that people could bring to the forefront when we decide to build a better model. A model where their property and their intellectual property won't be stolen from them by these Zionist communists. Okay? All these people are waiting for, and this includes the militia that I've met over the years, what they're waiting for is honesty in leadership. Honesty and integrity in leadership, because in my lifetime, we haven't had any. Not in the church world, not in politics, not in banking, not in the media, not in the schools. No, we have not. So if a group of men can maintain their righteous attitude and their integrity, then we have an army of individuals ready to come to our assistance. Whether it's in the area of militia for self-defense, or if it's in the area of producing energy or housing materials or clothing, etc., that doesn't need to be bought in the New World Order's box stores like Amazon and Walmart. Yahweh has everything we need already set out for us. What he's waiting for is the hearts of our people to turn back to him, as Malachi makes very clear in chapters 3 and 4. Okay? In Revelation chapter 18 at verse 4, "And another voice from heaven came to my ears, saying, Come out of her, my people, so that you may have no part in her sins and in her punishments. This verse, of course, in the whole first part of chapter 18 is the fall of Babylon. The Babylonian system. It's not just a city anymore. It's a worldwide Zionist-controlled enslavement system. So again, with the idea of building a better model so that my people can come out of this dystopic, sinful, evil system and put their creativity and their efforts into building a new model, a new world, making the old world obsolete, making the old world collapse in upon itself because it is evil. So, Revelation chapter 18. And then we talked about 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, probably one of the critical verses that a lot of people overlook. But this is the formula for individual salvation, folks. If my people, in fact, in the Septuagint here where it says my people, they use the term laos, like in Laodicean, laos, L-A-O-S, in the Greek. If my people, laos is a tribe or race, according to the Greek language. So once again, scripture does not point to a universalistic point of view. It is very specific on who it's talking to. The law was given to his people, not to everybody on earth. Now we're to enforce his law and make sure the world understands it, because we're all supposed to live according to it, because he created everything. But his Adamic people were the ones who were to live it and teach it to others. So if my people on whom my name is named, or in some versions I have read, who call upon my name, can you say identity? Make themselves humble and seek my face, which means come to me in prayer, seek my wisdom. Searching for me and turning from their evil, wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and overlook their sin, which is transgressions of his law, and give life again to their land. All right, you know, I was planting trees today. I put into two neem, N-E-E-M, neem trees, and a moringa tree. These are two, right along with hemp and many other plants that are just miracle plants. But the neem plant and the moringa plant, which grow in these almost tropical conditions that we have here, they do very well in the hot, humid climate here. But the medicinal values of these two trees is astounding. And it made me think, and I talked to some of my friends and neighbors about this, the reason why you're not getting healthy eating the garbage being put out by the corporations is because they get all of their foods from these gigantic corporate farms. The soil that they grow their these produce in is dead. There's no life in it. That's why they have to pour on the fertilizers. That's why they have to saturate it with these sprinkler systems, because there's no life in it. And therefore, there's no nutrients and life in what they sell you at the store. Oh, it looks like food, but it does not have what you need. Whereas the organics, They do have it. I was reminded because I planted some lavender plants near my carport, and my neighbor noticed that the gnats and other small, like no-see-ums, are not hanging around near our common border between his place and mine. We noticed that today. Because it used to be you could see clouds of these biting gnats and sweat bees and no-see-ums. And I just put four small lavender plants out there. I didn't even think they were big enough to produce much of an aroma yet. And yet, he's right. I haven't seen hardly any mosquitoes or flying insects around my carport, which is exactly what I read about the lavender plant. Besides, lavender is extremely beneficial to humans in its very calming and soothing. But to the animal world, insects and four-legged animals, the smell of the lavender plant is extremely offensive. Now, does our Heavenly Father have a sense of humor or what? Here's this beautiful plant that gives off a fragrance that just puts you at ease and smells so good to us. But to the creatures that bite us and annoy us, it is like putting a dish of manure out there. They run from it. You see, they want us to go down and buy chemicals and pesticides and all this stuff to poison the air and poison the ground, when all you have to do is follow our Heavenly Father's beautiful kingdom, vegetation and animal kingdom. I just read an article about the fact that healthy plants do not get eaten by bugs. Everybody out there says, oh, you have to use pesticides, and these farmers, oh, you have to use pesticides. Well, yeah, you do, because your ground is dead, you corporate farmers. So are you lying outright? Well, not exactly. But you're not telling the whole truth either. Because your ground is dead does not mean that I need it. My ground is organic. I don't put herbicides or pesticides on any of my soil or plants or grass. So my soil is full of bugs. I heard from a guy that today, a young man I just recently met, he's got a good friend that works for the state in the it's not the ag department, but it's one of the departments where they keep controls and keep an eye on plants and vegetation in the area, how they're doing. And this guy said that there's almost no snails left in South Florida today, because the ground is so full of pesticides and herbicides, the snails are dying. And there is a parasite that has come in from another country that is killing them as well. He said, but it's primarily the fact that the soil here can no longer support them. And they're dying out. There's very few snails in South Florida. And I said, well, you know what's amazing? He said, what's that? I said, because I've got snails on my carport and my front porch steps all the time. I have to be careful where I step so I don't step on them. And I'm talking some of the big ones. Snails that are 2-3 inches long with cones over top of them. Their shells are probably 1.5-2 inches across. I'm talking about some big snails. And I said, I never thought about it. I thought they were everywhere. But you're telling me they're disappearing in South Florida, but I've got them everywhere around my home. I said, well, that's just proof of what we're saying. The snails can live on my property because I don't poison them. They can thrive here. Do you see the difference, ladies and gentlemen? If you put your faith in the Father and do it His way, it works out. Now, when we were talking about healthy plants don't get invaded by insects, and it's true, all the plants that I've put in around here, I don't see hardly any insects eating them. It's almost non-existent. The same is true of us as people. If you will keep your pH level where it's supposed to be by eating organic foods and a good balanced diet, you're not going to get sick. Sorry, but you're not. Now, they don't want you to know that because your being sick is great business for the hospitals, the pharmaceuticals, and the doctors. Same thing with the dentist's office. They don't want you to know that the trees that I planted today, called neem, N-E-E-M, are highly medicinal to the human body as an antiseptic and as an, I can't think of the term for it right now, but it's very good for the gums. It helps keep the blood flow in the gums and everything and keeps the bacteria in the mouth very low so that you don't have issues with gums and or teeth. But the neem tree is what our ancestors used for a toothbrush and toothpaste. Oh, they don't want you to know that. They'd take a little twig off of it with leaves on it, and they would chew on the leaves and the twig and get the oils of the neem into their mouth, which would kill the bacteria and kill the plaque and help the blood flow. And then they would just take that twig that they've been gnawing on, it's now got bristles, and use it like a toothbrush to rub their teeth and use it as a toothpick if there was anything in there. And so I pulled some leaves off last night and I chewed them, and I noticed that, now I can't say for certain yet, but I slept all through the night, which usually I get up at least two or three times to go to the bathroom or because of this thing or that. I slept all the way through, and my dreaming was less than usual. It relaxed, almost like Sandmat Spurge does, which is the herb that grows here profusely, that can help you with kidney stones and gallstones, because it also relaxes the muscles in the lower back. I'm telling you, Father put everything for us here. We don't need to go to their damn stores because the stuff they're selling you is not beneficial anyway. I'm trying to think of the name of, there's a plant that grows here that has a bean on it, and our ancestors used it for coffee. They didn't use coffee beans like we do today. Yopan, that's what it's called, yopan. And it grows, again, very profusely down here. And I came across some near a gas station one day, so I walked out and I pulled some of the leaves off. And sure enough, you could chew them, and they were tasty. And you get a little bit of a caffeine kind of kick. That's why our ancestors drank it. They made it into a tea with the leaves. And you would get this caffeine rush, but it doesn't make you jittery like caffeine and coffee beans do. Oh, Ella says a dentifrice. Yep, dentifrice. So the point of it is, I'm just trying to make here, is that if we will get our heads out of our posteriors, and instead of believing the New World Order crowd and all these people trying to tell us that we must have their money system, we must have their factories, we must have their pharmaceuticals and drugs and procedures, and if we would just trust the Father who put us here, who made us, who knows what our needs are, if we'd stop being so lazy and learn the old ways. In fact, that's the name of a book I've got, The Lost Ways. We would find out we could be virtually independent of all of these antichrist systems that are out here. And here's the kicker, you would live a healthier, happier life, far less stress, much healthier, live a lot longer, and be healthy living longer. Not in pain, in a wheelchair, or in a nursing home. No. Like me, 69 years old, and I'm out in the hottest part of the Florida sun, sweating. I can't tell you how hard I was sweating. Planting trees at 1 o'clock in the afternoon when the sun is almost unbearable down here. And am I bragging a little bit? Yeah, I am. I put a lot of work into being as healthy as I can be. And the benefits are that I sleep well. I don't have bad joints. I don't have any of the ailments that seem to be afflicting many of my people. Much younger than I am, by the way, too. Again, if you just have faith in the Father and put what he says into action, you would have those blessings as well. Now, the song that was playing just before we came on air here was written by Dave Riddle, or Riddell, R-I-D-D-E-L-L. And it's the song is called A Patch of Green in a Sea of Blue, which is about Michael New. I knew Michael New, and his father Daniel New. I never got to talk to Michael because he was in and out of court martials at that time, so I dealt mostly with his father about the travesty. Because what it was is Michael New was stationed in Germany, and this was a long time ago, when they started pushing the UN on us. And so this army detachment, I believe it was a battalion, approximately 500 men, were told to put on uniforms that had these powder blue patches for the UN, and they were going to wear powder blue berets. And Michael New said, no, I'm not. That's not the regulation uniform of the United States Army. I will be in formation, but I will be in formation in my proper uniform. So out of 500 and some men of his battalion, Michael New was the only properly uniformed member of the United States Army that day. He's the only one that obeyed the law. He's the only one that stood his ground. And so he went through hell for that, trying to be shamed, going through court martial proceedings, etc., lambasted in the media, and absolutely not supported by the military when they should have, because he had the courage to do the right thing. Says a lot about the officers in our military today, the fact that Michael New had to take this all out by himself, and his commanding officers went along with violation of regulations just to appease the Zionist communist takeover of our military and our country. So that's quite a good song to commemorate his stand. And it also shows an example of what we should be all about right now, because we're getting very close to the final takeover by these communists. And as I and other people in the meeting a few hours ago were talking about, if you're fearful about militia, if you're fearful about self-defense, shame on you. Do you know what's going to happen to you and your family when the communists have taken complete control? Have you not read what they did to the Russians just over 100 years ago? Alexander Solzhenitsyn and other survivors have written extensively of the atrocities and absolute bestial slaughter of men, women, and children in Russia as they took over. And it wasn't just Russia. It also happened in Cambodia with Pol Pot. It also happened in Korea and in Vietnam. These people have no empathy. They're monsters, literally monsters. They have no empathy, no milk of human kindness whatsoever. And they hate you and me and our families. So if you're timid about self-defense, joining a militia, whatever, shame on you. Your timidity is aiding and abetting a communist takeover of our nations, not just the United States, but virtually every Western nation right now. How dare you? No, no man wants to die. No man wants to suffer. But what's the alternative? The good book says that you're dead already. If your choice is to acquiesce or not get involved out of fear, you're already dead. You're just a bag of bones going through the motions of living, but you're already dead. You see, our ancestors looked at bravery and challenging a despot completely differently. They considered it an honor to suffer and even die in defending their homes and their families and putting down evil in this world. They looked at it as a badge of honor. Today, we sit around, oh, it might break my fingernail, or I might get dirty, or I might sweat, or I might not make the tennis match this afternoon, or I might miss the latest NASCAR race on television. We consider that a great burden. Our ancestors weren't that way. We all have a lot to think about at this time. As the men pointed out in the meeting, time is very short. The enemy is inside the gates, as Colonel Don de Grandpre used to tell me. The enemy has breached our gates, and they are in here. And they've been in here for quite some time. We, the people, are the last line of defense. So every single person has a very, very serious decision to make in the very near future. Will you continue to try to sit on the fence, even though it's razor sharp right now? Or are you going to become a living soul upon the earth and do what you can to fix this dystopic world that our enemies have created, and we have helped them create it by our lack of action and fearfulness? Dear Heavenly Father, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. We thank you for this opportunity to reach out to our brothers and sisters. We just pray that you would reach the men that are meant to hear. Give them a stiff backbone, Father, good discernment. Give them vision to see clearly where we are and where we need to go. Give them the ability to speak eloquently and get their points across to the people. Give them the information, the heart, to speak your truths so that people can come back to you, the author of our life and the author of the law that works upon this earth that we have completely squandered and turned our backs on. Those of us that have reached that point and want to be in your good graces, we ask that you would forgive us our sins, our cowardice, our lack of faith. Wash us anew in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Wash us anew in the blood of Yahshua, that we would walk his walk on this earth. Help us to reach the right people. Help us to work together as a team and as a family. And always give us that discernment that we can see through the mountain of lies and deceptions that are out there and then have courage enough to do the right thing for the right reason. We ask a curse upon our enemies and all those who do the evil and wicked things that we hear and read about. We pray for your kingdom to be reestablished upon this world. We pray for your return, that you would sit upon that throne as the only rightful heir and rightful king. That would end all of the bickering and the fighting. In the meantime, though, as your sons and daughters, we ask that you would honor us with the ability to bring the judgments written against those who violate your law and violate the widows and orphans and innocent blood upon this earth. Walk with us and guide us every single day, Father Yahweh, and protect us from our enemies. In Yahweh's precious name, hallelujah.
Once a man's home was his castle, only his foes would violate. And the border of his property was the moat round his estate. All these kingly rights of sovereignty, once bestowed on us by God, have been lost somewhere in history, in the fine print and the fraud. Once a man and his religion was protected by the law. In America, the Constitution formed a verbal wall. Now the law that used to separate is the law that's daily breached. Now the worried watchman on the wall is crying, heaven's under siege. Heaven's under siege. Woe now, heaven's under siege. When the Bible and the Bill of Rights have been trampled in the streets. And when the gentle lambs of Jesus Christ rot in jails for their beliefs. You know corruption reigns in government when heaven's under siege. Heard the watchman sound a warning call back in 1992. When they murdered Vicky Weaver, just like they'll murder me or you. When they stormed the church in Waco, women and children burned alive. And now the ones who rot in prisons are the ones they let survive. Heaven's under siege, woe now, heaven's under siege. When the Bible and the Bill of Rights have been trampled in the streets. And when the gentle lambs of Jesus Christ rot in jails for their beliefs. You know corruption reigns in government when heaven's under siege. Now a voice cries in the wilderness as the Lord prepares his church. Will his called and chosen servants be found faithful on this earth? Will we pass the test of heaven's quest, never counting earthly loss? Will we fight like Christian soldiers with our eyes upon the cross? Heaven's under siege, woe now, heaven's under siege. When the Bible and the Bill of Rights have been trampled in the streets. And when the gentle lambs of Jesus Christ rot in jails for their beliefs. You know corruption reigns in government when heaven's under siege. I said corruption reigns in government when heaven's under siege.
stumble through sorrow. Stumble through pain. Stumble through laughter and joy. We were born to live again.
The song you are about to hear is true. Though some of the events described have not occurred in the life of the author, they have occurred in the lives of thousands of other revenue-oppressed Americans. The author disclaims any responsibility or liability for any loss incurred as a consequence of the use and the application of any of the following information, which is not provided for the purpose of rendering any legal advice or professional service. In other words, this song is totally frivolous and without merit.
Not. Last April, right around tax time, along with my 1040 form, I sent the IRS a message to tell them they was wrong. And I told them I was sick and tired of playing their cheating game. And as for all my honest, hard-earned wages, to them they never had no claim. Because I never worked in Puerto Rico, nor lived in Washington, D.C. I wasn't under their jurisdiction, and there was nothing they could do to me. And since I've never ever been an employee of the federal government, I ain't liable for, nor subject to, no, I've never owed you one red cent. But let me tell you, it's dangerous to be right when the government is wrong. They'll trample down your rights as they break inside your home. They'll terrorize your sweet bride as they put the hard lean on. Yes, it's dangerous to be right when the government is wrong. Now it didn't take them very long before they garnished all my hard-earned pay. Then they repossessed my pickup truck and had it towed away. And then they up and seized my bank accounts as they auctioned off my family farm. And to keep me from proving my innocence, well, they shackled me in iron. Now let me tell you, it's dangerous to be right when the government is wrong. They'll trample down your rights as they break inside your home. They'll terrorize your sweet bride as they put the hard lean on. Yes, it's dangerous to be right when the government is wrong. Now the truth about the IRS code is that it's fraudulently misapplied. Because the legal definition of taxpayer is exclusively derived. So all you agents of the evil IRS are in reality a bunch of thieves who are working for the foreign bankers to bring America to her knees. So listen up, you international banksters, and all you traitorous congressmen, and all you low-down, lying, thieving, cheating lawyers, better leave the country while you can. 'Cause when the people find out the truth about how the income tax is based on fraud, they're gonna rise up all across this nation. They're gonna rout you vipers out, by God. To use the famous words of Andy Jackson, we're gonna rout you vipers out, by God. And then it's gonna be dangerous, 'cause we're right and the government is wrong. We'll trample down their rights as we break inside their homes. We'll terrorize their sweet brides as we put the hard lean on. Yes, we're dangerous, 'cause we're right, and the government is wrong. Yes, we're dangerous, 'cause we're right, and the government is wrong.
With explicit reservation of all rights without prejudice per UCC 1-207.
Long time ago when the earth was green, and there was more kinds of animals than you'd ever seen. They'd run around free while the earth was being born, but the loveliest of them all was the unicorn. There was green alligators and long-necked geese, some humpty backcamas and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, the loveliest of all was the unicorn. Now God seen some sinning, and it gave him pain. And he says, stand back, I'm going to make it rain. He says, hey, brother Noah, I'll tell you what to do. Build me a floating zoo, and take some of them
green alligators and long-necked geese, some humpty backcamas and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, don't you forget my unicorn.
Noel was there to answer the call. He finished up making the ark just as the rain started falling. He marched in the animals two by two, and he called out as they went through, "Hey Lord, I got you
green alligators and long-necked geese, some Humpty back camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but Lord, I'm so forlorn, I just can't see no unicorn."
Then Noah looked out through the driving rain. Them unicorns were hiding, playing silly games, kicking and splashing while the rain was falling. Oh, them silly unicorns.
There was green alligators and long-necked geese, some humpty-backed camels and some chimpanzees.
Noah cried, "Close the door, 'cause the rain is falling, and we just can't wait for no unicorn." The ark started moving, it drifted with the tide. Them unicorns looked up from the rocks and they cried. And the waters came down and sort of floated them away. And that's why you never seen a unicorn till this very day. You'll see
green alligators and long-necked geese, some humpty-backed camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, you're never going to see no unicorn.